6:55 on a Wednesday morning in kind of the basketball season. Time for another edition of Basketball Junes, where this reporter gets to take a look at his favorite league, the Association. We don't have any games to watch, so I went back yesterday, and for this segment, I watched the greatest game that I have ever witnessed in person or on television. And I know we're going to be doing a lot of this over the next 2 months or 4 months or 6 months or however long we are without actual live sporting events. But I'm telling you, if you go back and you rewatch some of these games that you remember from the past, or maybe games you don't remember, that's a hell of a way to spend 2 hours. And I had so much fun yesterday watching the greatest game that I've ever seen in person, the 2006 Western Conference Semifinals, Game 7, the Dallas Mavericks at the San Antonio Spurs.
And the Musers were in the house.
We were in the house. That's why I say it's the greatest game that I've ever witnessed in person. Gordo, you were there. Were you reading Shakespeare during the game, or do you remember much about that game?
No, I always get a bad rap for saying, somebody said I was reading Hemingway. I was reading an M. Scott Peck book, I believe.
Yeah, he waited till the NBA Finals to do that. Remember, that was in Miami.
Oh, that's right.
A couple of weeks later.
I think I read it both.
Amazing. No, this one, I think you were pretty locked in.
Was I?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see there. In my defense, I was locked in.
What I remember.
I vividly remember this game like it was yesterday, and I remember damn near every possession. And one of the reasons was, it was because these two franchises are easily the two that I have followed the most closely in my life. I can tell you just about everything about the history of each one of these franchises, Dallas and San Antonio. And here they are in a Game 7. The Mavericks are on the road. They are playing the defending champion Spurs. The Spurs had beaten the Pistons the year before in the finals for their third championship of their five in the dynasty. The Mavericks were looking for their first. That first wouldn't happen until 5 years later with almost a completely different cast around Dirk, including a different head coach and coaching staff. But the Mavericks were really good that year. They won 60 games. The Spurs won 63. They were very closely matched. There were four Hall of Famers on the floor that day. For the Spurs, of course, they had their big three, and all of them were in the starting lineup. Ginobili started most of that season and in that Game 7. So it was Parker, future Hall of Famer, and Ginobili, future Hall of Famer, in the backcourt. Former Maverick Michael Finley started at small forward for San Antonio.
I'd forgotten that until I saw those highlights.
Bruce Bowen started on the front line for the Spurs as well with Tim Duncan. So three Hall of Famers there in Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker. And for the Mavericks, their starting lineup was that familiar lineup that went to the NBA Finals that year and lost to Miami. Dirk, of course, future Hall of Famer. Josh Howard and Eric Dampier on the front line with Dirk. And in the backcourt, Jason Terry and Devin Harris. So here we go. The game is televised on TNT, and doing the broadcast, Marv Albert and Steve Kerr,
yes,
the former Spur, the former Bull, and of course now Golden State's head coach, who led them to several championships. So it's on TNT. Marv still sounding really crisp and in his prime, and they were both great on the broadcast. And on the bench for the Spurs, of course, you had Greg Popovich, but for the Mavericks, Avery Johnson was the head coach. His assistants were Del Harris and Rolando Blackman. And the Mavs, on the road, get off to a great start. And I just remember being in the arena, the AT&T Center in San Antonio, and the energy was as high as any basketball game I've ever experienced. It was a Game 7, and they were arch rivals. They were I-35 in-state rivals. You couldn't have asked for a better setting.
I remember it being really loud, and I do remember pockets of Maverick fans who were somehow able to infiltrate and buy some tickets away from Spurs fans, and there was a decent amount of them there that night.
The Mavs got off to a red-hot start. They shot 83% from the field in the first quarter. They went 15 of 18 from the field, and they were up 10 at the end of one. The Spurs were also hot in that first quarter. They shot 67%, but they're down double digits. Can you imagine that? You shoot 67% from the field, and you're trailing by 10 at the end of one. And it was evident that each team was focused on the other team's superstar. The Spurs ran double teams a lot at Dirk, not as many as the Mavs ran at Duncan. They did not want Duncan to beat them. The Spurs did throw double teams at Dirk a lot, but they also let Michael Finley and Bruce Bowen play him one-on-one. And, you know, Popovich didn't like to run double teams at stars. He tried to, Bowen was a good enough defender. He would hope that they could handle him one-on-one and play man-to-man defense that way.
And remember that double team as foreshadowing mm-hmm. something late in the game that happened when they did double team Dirk.
Despite the defense that was thrown at both of those guys, each of them had, in some ways, career and in some ways, signature games. Duncan ended up that night with 41 points. That was a new career playoff high for him. And Dirk ended up with 37 and had the signature moment at the end of regulation that we'll get to. Both teams in the second quarter came out. Mavs are up 10. They're kind of feeling each other out. The Spurs are trying to climb back, but they go cold in the second. They have a 4 or 5 minute stretch where they cannot put the ball in the bucket. And that happened while Dirk was on the bench.
Mm.
So the time when you think you're San Antonio, you're going to make up some ground, they can't. Dirk's on the bench and Dallas extends the lead at one point to 20. And it was really interesting when Dirk came back into the game just to watch young Dirk.
Yeah.
And he was so much quicker than the Dirk that we saw in the last 5 or 6 years. You know, from the time, he was even quicker than he was in 2011 when they won the title. But
yep.
But the Dirk that we've watched the last few years before he retired, that's what we have fresh in our mind. But if you go back and you watch Dirk from 2006, man, he is such an unstoppable offensive force. And he was so young and quick. And he was never the quickest guy in the league. But it jumps off the screen at you at how quick he was compared to what we saw in the last 5 years.
It may have had his best baseline drive in that first half when the Mavericks got up 20. And that baseline drive where he, against the Spurs, went by two defenders and dunked it.
Yeah, he went by, I believe, Finley and Duncan. Went right around him. And it was shocking to see that.
Yeah.
So Dirk was awesome in this game. Jason Terry was also great, especially in that second quarter. He started the game 6 for 6. 17 points, and he hit a three near the end of the second quarter, put the Mavericks up 19. San Antonio cut it down a little bit, but at the half, Dallas is up 64-50. The Mavericks shot 70%, over 70% in that first half.
Wow.
Something else that jumped out at me, it was such a beautiful game. It was such a masterpiece by both teams, and it was such basketball perfection. Now, I'm from the Doug Moe school. That's what I grew up on, fast-paced, fast-breaking basketball. So I'm used to, and I loved 130 to 128 games. But to me, there's a cheap feel about a game that gets into the 120s and 130s. But I also don't like it on the other end. I never liked the NBA when final scores were 81 to 79. But as this game moved on, and we near the end of regulation, it's clear that both of these teams are going to be right around 100. And there's something perfect about a 106-104 score in the last minute.
Yeah.
Because you're getting enough offense, but you're also getting enough defense. And you had future Hall of Famers here, a great coach. You had two great teams. As it played out, there was just a lot of beautiful, balanced basketball. Inside-outside games, great passing. Ginobili had a couple of passes that were off the charts. You have Cuban sitting there behind the Mavs bench, and that week he had riled up Spurs fans talking about how muddy the Riverwalk was and how the Spurs fans were the rudest in the NBA, so they were giving him hell, and he was giving it to him back. Spurs claw their way back in the third quarter. They cut it to 6 at the end of 3, but they just couldn't get all the way back. Every time the Spurs would make a run, Dallas would make a little mini run of their own to keep San Antonio at an arm's length. Fourth quarter, intensity is off the charts in that building. I remember, I think we stood the whole time. And as Dallas extends their lead to 10 early in the fourth, the fans, they were cutting to the crowd, and the fans are starting to get a little worried. Well, Ginobili goes on a run in the fourth quarter, scores 7 straight, He cuts the Mavs lead to 3 with 6 minutes to go. So they take it from 10 down to 3, and the place is going apes. Then the Mavericks and Avery decide to go small. So Dirk has to guard Duncan instead of Dampier guarding Duncan. And Dirk can't guard Duncan. As great a game as Dirk had and as great a player as Dirk was, defense was not his strong suit. So as soon as the Mavs went small, Popovich forces it into Duncan, and Duncan scores a lot on Dirk. Well, they can't do that, so Avery has to put Dampier back into the game because the Spurs are right there. It's nip and tuck at this point. So he puts Dampier back in with about 2 minutes left, and the first possession for the Spurs when Dampier comes back in, they go into Duncan. The double comes. Duncan passes it out to Finley, the former Maverick great, who hits a 3 to make it 101-100. Dallas is now down to a 1-point lead with a minute and a half to play. Next possession, Duncan goes to the free throw line. He misses the first one, which would be costly later, makes the second one, and the Spurs have finally, with a minute to play, clawed all the way back and tied the game at 101.
When you talk about the beauty, just real quick, of Duncan and watching that 15-minute highlight package, that is a thing of beauty. What would the Mavericks to do? You double him, he finds the open shooter.
Yep.
You don't, and he's got a bucket on a post move.
Yes. So then the Mavericks have the ball. Dirk misses. Ginobili the other way hits a 3-pointer. And the play, it brings down the house, and the Spurs are up for the first time. It has taken them the entire game to claw their way back, and with 30 seconds to go, they finally have the lead, 104-101.
And we know how this goes in Dallas. We're the little brother here.
Right.
This is not going to end well.
And then maybe the signature moment of Dirk's career. He gets the ball on the right wing. And I remember we were looking at it from the far baseline. It happened. It unfolded in front of us at the far end of the court.
Right.
I vividly remember it.
Yeah.
Dirk backs down Bruce Bowen. He spins. He goes in for the layup. And Manu Ginobili comes over for some reason for the block. He ends up fouling Dirk, who makes the layup, makes the free throw. It's the signature Dirk and one moment. Ties the game at 104. In the huddle, Popovich told his players, there's only one thing we don't do, foul. You let them have a layup. You let them have 2 points.
What if he makes the basket? Can I foul him?
We are up 3. The one thing you don't do is foul, and Ginobili fouls him. And then the other way, the Spurs still had 18 seconds to win the game. Ginobili missed an off-balance layup. The game goes to overtime. The Spurs are completely out of gas from their comeback. It took all game, 48 minutes, to come back, take the lead, and then they surrender it on the ridiculous Ginobili play. Dirk makes the free throw. Overtime, the Mavs ran away with it, 119-111, the final. Hero of the overtime that I had forgotten about, Sagana Jop.
Yep.
Fresh legs, came off the bench to guard Duncan, who was worn out at that point because he played 40-some-odd minutes that night. And Jop did a really good job on him and on the boards and kind of helped the Mavericks pull away in overtime. They say that after that foul on Dirk that cost the Spurs the game and probably another championship, I don't think there's much question San Antonio would have then beaten Phoenix as Dallas did. And the Spurs would have beaten Miami in that final because they had someone to lock down Wade and they had Duncan to dominate Shaq. I'm 99.9% sure they win that finals. The Mavs weren't ready yet.
No. Nope.
But they say that Ginobili was inconsolable. That
Poor guy.
He disappeared. He went off the grid, and his teammates were worried that he was going to take his own life.
Oh, man.
they tried to find him, and they couldn't find him, and they were actually worried. That's how it affected him, because he knew he screwed up monumentally.
And, you know, looking back at that, it was just instinctive play on his part. I'm helping defense here. I can't let this guy score. And Bowen got killed on that first step by Dirk.
Yep.
I mean, he was partly responsible for that, too.
Yep. Great play by Dirk. Signature moment, really. I mean, it didn't lead to a title, but when you think of one moment, I mean, that's a Game 7 ball in your hands. Everything's on the line.
That's when Dirk arrived, I think, in that game.
Make the free throw.
Yeah.
If you want a treat, go back and watch it. It's the greatest game I've ever seen, either in person or on TV. Certainly the most memorable. And Dirk and Duncan were at the height of their powers. Dirk finished with 37 points and 15 rebounds and 3 assists. Duncan finished with 41 points, 15 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 blocks. He played 50 minutes that night. Dirk played 50 minutes that night. It was basketball at its best. It was two signature teams of the aughts playing at a very high level, and it was a real treat to go back and watch Game 7, West Semis, Mavericks 119, Spurs 111 in overtime. What a joy.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that. 7:10 on the ticket. Up next, it's Scordo and Muse in the news.
Well, the numbers continue to go up. The latest on COVID-19 next.